following is a remastered version of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hello all, welcome to the Pulse Gamecast, episode 32. I'm Great All.
I'm Jason.
Today's record date is the 1st of July, 2014. Let's just get it started, Jay. What you been doing?
Well, thanks to you telling me right there, I spent more money than I should have and went into the Steam Summer Sale right there at the butt end of it. Mm-hmm. Because on the last day, they had Assassin's Creed Black Flag, which is the one game this year that I promised myself I'd get other than Ghosts, and I'm going to get Ghosts on the PlayStation 4. But on the 3. So I promised myself that I'd get it, and for $29.95, it's hard to beat because it gave me a season pass, all the unlockables, and the game itself. So for $30, I got everything. My wife's going to kill me, but that's okay because she's allowed to kill me. So, I also updated my SWTOR and fell asleep playing that. Because as everyone here knows, I'm in college. And in between doing homework, I update my game clans. And finally, I found out that there is no standing against the clans at the moment. Because no matter which mech I choose, I become a walking clay pigeon. And that's not a joke, because literally across the thing you say pull and I'll step out and I'll fall down. Oh. I was like, wow, really, guys? actually happened. That's a true story.
That's funny. So do you think it is because you are obviously playing a bot mech, or is the colors of your mech just so bright that you stand out?
Well, I gotta admit, I purchased the Kerensky. Well, I'm a big lore fan for MechWarrior, right. You know, the BattleTech universe. So naturally, I have an Orion, because it's like one of the most ubiquitous mechs ever. It's Kerensky's favorite, that's the thing he rode till the day he left the Inner Sphere. And I purchased the Protector mech, which is orange and yellow. So I was kind of trying to blend in with these new clan mechs, but apparently it didn't happen. So the fact that I'm in an Inner Sphere mech that's bright orange against no matter what background you have, I do kind of stick out. But then I said, well, maybe if I play the Misery, and then I noticed that when I looked at the stats for the end of the clan invasion week, that the Misery was the most killed mech on the planet, other than the Ilya Mermets. I was like, wow, okay, so don't be in a Cataphract, don't be in a Misery, and don't be in an Orion. And the last one was the Jenner. The Jenner was the most killed, so yay.
That almost goes without saying.
I hate to say that, but let me just throw this out there. It was so bad, we got our asses handed to us so much that the top four mechs, which by the way were the Atlas, the Atlas Boar's Head, the Misery, the Jenner, whatever, I can't remember which Jenner it is, but it's one of the hero Jenners, and then the Hunchback. No, it wasn't the Hunchback. The Atlas, the Misery, the Jenner, and the Ilya Mermets. It was so bad that they had what's called the scrap metal sale, and those were 50% off if you wanted to purchase one as a flash sale, because they were the single most destroyed mechs by the clan.
And scrap metal sale.
That's funny. Dude, I was so ashamed. I was like, oh my god.
So, what do you think? Can you buy a paint job? When your mechs, essentially, can you get rid of the orange, and do you think that would help?
Yeah, I could, but honestly, I think it's MC to buy the paint jobs. I've looked at them. To buy any paint job, it's MC. You can do a basic paint job, but it's so expensive because each color that you add to a primary secondary palette is like, it's just like 300,000 normal credits to where... Wow. And you start adding any design whatsoever and add two or three of those bad boys, you're up to $1 million, $2 million, And to me, that's a quarter of a decent mech. So,
yeah. Wow.
So, yeah, no.
Alrighty. So what I've been doing in game, and I want to talk SWTOR for just a second. I actually played a little bit of SWTOR as well because I knew Jay had been. I guess technically a free to play. I'm a preferred player. So we get 6 characters, and what a free to play I think gets 2. Is that right?
You can have 5, I think, or 6 active per server.
Even as free to play, not just preferred.
I paid for a while, and mm-hmm. then I quit, so I'm in free to play status, right?
Well, no, if you ever bought coins, cartel.
Oh
coins,
yeah, I
then
did.
You're a preferred
yeah.
player. Yeah.
Okay. Well then, yeah. Then I'm preferred too.
So, I've activated a few tunes on Shadowlands, and played around this and that and this and that. And I knew Jay was playing the Marauder on the Empire side.
Yes.
And dual wielding. If you don't know SWTOR, that's a dual lightsaber wielding Sith. So, I thought about it. So I started a I can't even remember what they're called. Essentially, the consular version and the Sith side, a sorcerer.
Oh yeah, sorcerer, yeah.
Whatever they are, the base class. And I played that a little bit. I mean, like 4th, 5th, 6th level. And the more I thought about it, I was like, you know, I don't really want to freaking grind Balmora again for the 100th time. So I think what I might do, since Jay is playing, I have a level 16 agent.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're just ranged. These are. Agent, and I actually went sniper at level 10, so nice. She's a sniper, just full ranged, no stabby, no stealth, no healing. So I might focus on that to kind of complement your uber DPS.
Oh yeah, we can do that.
And, so very very minuscule amount of SWTOR. What I've really been focusing on, as I have been for the past week or two, is Final Fantasy 14 Realm Reborn. I actually have a couple friends now who are playing. One is Danielle, who I've mentioned on the show before as my friend who only has 2 Steam friends ever, and I'm one of them. She's playing. She actually played Final Fantasy XI, the original Final Fantasy MMO, and she's also a huge FF fan and has played, I think, all of the Final Fantasies. I should just say that. She's played every game. So when I have a question, hey, I saw this is on sale, should I pick it up? Nah, I play this one instead. The story's better. So she's my go-to Final Fantasy person. But it's fun. I'm enjoying it. I don't know what it is. You know, if you've ever played any of the Final Fantasy games, music is such an integral part of the game, and I think that's what I really like. I mean, the community's nice, the community's good, people seem to be real friendly. Of course, there are asshats in any game you play, but for the most part, people, I think, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this, people don't just want to play the game, it's the wrong word. I'd say they want to live in the game. They want to experience the game. You know, they want to be part of the world. So even though
immersed.
I'm not one and do what?
They want to be immersed.
They want to be immersed, very immersed in the game, very immersed in the world. So even though I'm not on a RP server, there are still people, a lot of people who RP or at least chat semi in character. So you don't get a lot of, you know, Boobman 69 running around. You don't see that crap. People seem to be friendly. If you have questions, they'll help you out. They'll answer your stuff. And I think that's what I like. Like I said, the music is great. It changes not just by zone, but really by sections of the zone. So you might run through parts of the city that are more aesthetic, and the music's all doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. And then you hit like you know, the arena where the gladiator class. And it kicks into classic Final Fantasy kind of dun 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 dun. So
nice.
So I kind of like that. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Also, a coworker. Now, I've heard about this game a long time ago, and it just kind of, you know, flew by. He's playing, and it's called Ingress. Ingress. Now, what this is, it's and this is probably one of the first times we've ever talked about it. It's a mobile game. It's only on your phone. Now, I don't know, honestly, if it's on iOS, it's on Android. What you do is you download the app, which is free. You now, this is what's kind of cool, is it's essentially a real-life game in that you kick on the GPS on your phone. You have to have a smartphone, obviously. You open up the game, and you drive around town, no matter where you're at, I'm assuming. And there are portals, which are harvesting this material. Now, you belong to one of two teams, the Exiles or the... I can't even remember the other name, to be honest with you, because I'm an Exile. But you drive around, and when you find the enemy portal, which shows up on your smartphone, it's kind of like a map. You can tap it, and as you drive past it, based on your GPS, you can hack the portal, which gives you materials, resonators, collectors, things like that. You then use those resonators to attack enemy resonators that are placed on that portal, which power the portal and harvest material for the other team. There's also a social aspect because it has chat channels. So you drive around wherever, and of course, you know, I've talked about I'm in Houston, fourth largest city in the nation. So there are portals everywhere. Now, what they do is pop them up in public buildings, like post offices and churches. Those seem to be the big places where you'll find those. As it just so happens where I live, my wife and I were out this weekend. We drove literally 5 minutes and passed seven churches, i.e. seven portals, most of which were under enemy control, so I was able to hack them and gain my stuff. There again, it's a free-to-play game. Of course, it you do have to have a smartphone. You do have to have a GPS. It does drain your battery.
What about data? Does it do a lot of data charges?
I honestly don't know. I haven't even looked at it to see what... I probably need to before I probably should have looked at that before I reported on it. I have unlimited data on my phone, so I haven't really cared about it. But what I'll do is I'll research it, and next week I'll try to have a better update. Now, I don't keep it running all the time because, like I said, it does have your GPS and it is a running app if you do, which means your battery just disappears. But, you know, I just... If I stop somewhere to do a service call, work on someone's, you know, equipment or whatever, I just open it up, see if there's anything around, and bloop, you know, hack or attack or whatever. And it's just kind of one of those neat little things. There's other games like that I know that are more combat, I think, more so than hacker type. But that's one thing I've picked up, and I'm enjoying it. And again, it's called Ingress. As usual, I've played a little Team Fortress 2 this week, probably, I think, maybe in the neighborhood of 10 hours. Let's see here. Now, Jay talked about picking up Assassin's Creed on the Steam Summer Sale, which ended yesterday?
Yeah.
I think it was just, yeah, yesterday?
Yesterday at about 9 or 10 in the morning.
Okay. So I also snuck in a few last minute things, because yesterday they had like the mega sale, which they just put everything out on the front page. Here's everything on sale. So I picked up, Lego Batman 2, cause I'm Jay as well. I think we're big fans of the Lego games.
Yep.
And I love me some Batman. So
I'm Batman.
Batman picked up, Lego Batman 2. I picked up Age of Empires 2. Now, in the show notes, I put Age of Empires 2, blah. Because I am not impressed with this game. If Steam offered a refund, I would get a refund, because, in my opinion, this game sucks. You watch the trailer, and you read the little things, and I honestly thought it was going to be kind of a... now, I knew it was turn-based. I have no problem with that. But I thought it was going to be more of a... resource management, exploration kind of game, like you know, as we know at StarCraft, you build your base, you explore out, you build more bases, blah blah blah. That's not what the game is. There's a series of games out there, and they have 10 of them now so far, and they're called Heroes of Might and Magic. Have you played those, Jay? Have you ever played those?
Yes, I have.
Now, I like Heroes of Might and Magic, but that's essentially what Age of Empires is. But they just... It's not done as well as Heroes of Might and Magic. So you have a hero, you meld your armies together, and you go exploring the map with just that one thing. You attack little bases and forts and towns, and I don't know, man, it just didn't click with me. It just doesn't seem to be done as well as Heroes. The controls, it was honestly very confusing. The tutorial sucked. It didn't give you any information. This is a fairly new game, I believe. But honestly, I played, I think, 35 minutes of that and just uninstalled it. And went back online, went back to Steam, and found a very good deal for 50% off Wolfenstein The New Order. I did get that.
Oh, Nazis.
Yeah, killing some Nazis in 1960s. Now, this is a new game. It's still $60, and like I said, it was 50% off, so I got it for $30. Not gonna complain about that. So that's what I've been doing this week. And
wait, I'm not letting you off.
Uh-oh, go ahead.
All right, so I've never played Final Fantasy RPG. Obviously online. I played all the Nintendo style games, yeah, and the PlayStation when they came on. I played those. Okay, so I'm looking. You actually got me to go to the site and look at it.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at it, and it seems visually stunning. Because it's got some good visuals.
One
yeah,
of the best, you, beautiful games I've ever seen.
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting at. It looks as if what you can see here is that they've got an idea for where they want their art to go, because I've seen three different zones, and all of them are completely different art styles, which is awesome.
Yes. Yep.
And I've seen the one where you're fighting the old man on the I think they call it the branch or the tree or something like that. But anyway, so you're fighting some old guy on a plateau, and then there's another one where they're fighting an octopus, huge mm-hmm. octopus of some type in the water. That's pretty cool. And then there's another one that looks like they were just attacking electrical ball, and I didn't get that mm-hmm. one, but okay. But what
it's
I'm getting at is...
It's a wisp or an elemental.
Okay. So what I'm getting at is I see a lot of different... Is this a game that's solo friendly, or is this a community based game where you know? I've got a couple of questions. Okay, first, is this a community based game, or can you really solo and have fun in this game?
So far, it's in that regard, it seems to be a standard MMO. I've played solo. It's kind of like other games like Secret World, I think. You don't get access to dungeons until like level 15. So it is solo friendly. Like I said, I haven't grouped yet. I just hit my 60-day veteran reward Saturday, and I haven't grouped once. Haven't done it. Hmm. Haven't had to. So it's very solo friendly. Once you get access to the dungeons, of course, you're going to have a group for that. There are little things that pop up in the world called fates. These are like, if you ever played Rifts, the MMO Rift.
Didn't play it.
Okay, well, they're Rifts is what they are. They're little events that pop up. They're based off timers or events. So you'll see it on your map. It's kind of a little purple shaded area.
Like in that game we don't talk about? Guild Wars 2?
Oh, yeah. They're exactly. It's just like, what are they called in Guild Wars 2? The little events?
It's an event like in Guild Wars 2 where the community comes together and attacks everything all at one time. Yeah. And then you get rewarded depending on how much you contributed.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what they are. So even though you aren't running dungeons, you still have that community effort. Now, like I said, honestly, my highest level tune is only level 10, so I haven't hit dungeons yet. But it is solo friendly. What's your next question?
Well, that was actually my second question about the community events. And then I guess I got one more after that. Then I guess what I want to say is, okay, so you played up your character. Do you follow a set path, or is the character creation like they've got this type of character and this is the character you play, or can you really customize your character? Are there 50 people like you at any given time standing around, or?
Yes and no. So what you do is you have a base class, and that's what you start off as. So for instance, Right now, I'm playing a Thaumaturge. Now, what that is a equivalent would be a wizard, a destruction magic wizard. That's all they have is destruction
gotcha.
Magic, fire, lightning, and ice. So what you do is you pick your base class, you gain 30 levels in that, then you switch classes. You pick up a second class and gain 15 levels in that. Then that determines your end game, which I can't remember exactly what they call it, your job, I think. That determines your job at level 45. Then you advance 5 levels in your job, and then you're ready for end game if that's what you want to do. So for instance, with the Thaumaturge and Destruction Magic, I'll take 30 levels of that. Then I take 15 levels of Archer, which is exactly what it sounds like, which gives me access to the Black Mage job. And, you know, that's iconic right there, the Black Mage of Final Fantasy.
Oh, yeah, I remember the Black Mage now.
Yeah. So, like, for instance, I also have a Gladiator, which I've talked about, and that's your sword and board fighter type, sword and shield. 30 levels of Gladiator. Crap, I can't remember. I can't remember what the other one is. I think then 15 levels of Conjurer, which is a mage who deals in protection and healing, and then 15 levels of that, and that will give me the Paladin. So defensive cool. fighter type with a little bit of healing magic. So yes and no, there are people like you, but you know, someone may have gone Gladiator and Lancer, which deals gotcha. With pole arms instead of. So, yeah, you are going to see a lot of people like you, but maybe not exactly like you. So there's plenty of room to play around with it. I mean, if you look at the jobs, kind of the end game, you know, the final classes, I think there's like 10 of them. So, you know, a little bit of playing room.
Well, it looks interesting. So I've been looking at it. That's all. I'll just figure out. And one other thing, do the... Is it a single world or are there shards?
There, and this is what I think is funny because I've been trying to explain this to my friends who have no IT or telecommunications experience at all. You actually, when you create a character, you choose a data center.
nice.
Yep. So you choose a data center, and inside of the data center are servers, which they call worlds. So... you know, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, data centers are essentially, you know, as I know them, they're server farms is what they are. And so, for instance, I'm in a North American data center. So.
Okay, can I ask one last question?
Yes,
this may
sure.
sound stupid.
No.
Do PC players and console players play on the same servers?
Yes, they do.
So if I bought this for, say I got a PlayStation 4, which I'm not going to do, but if I did... I would still be playing with you even though you're playing on a PC on a server.
Yes.
That's wicked cool.
That is wicked cool. Let me tell you though, if you're thinking of doing that or anyone else is, I don't know why, but PlayStation players are freaking hated. I don't know why. I don't know
really?
Why. Yeah, and I think honestly a lot of it is because they can't communicate as well.
Gotcha.
You know, because they don't have ready access to a keyboard or, you know, stuff like that. I think that's why they're not, whatever.
Well, it makes sense.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, pick it up on PlayStation. And they have it on 3 as well.
PlayStation 3. I was just looking. I was like, man, look at that.
Yep.
So,
yep.
All cool right. Stuff. Well, food for thought.
Well, that's 30 minutes and we haven't even gotten to the news.
Oh, we'll blow through the news. Don't worry about it.
Right. That's awesome. Alrighty, well, so that's what we've been doing. Like I said, we're going to move on to news. Let's start off with BioWare. You know, I'm a huge BioWare fan. Of course, BioWare makes SWTOR, which Jay and I play.
Sweet.
Also, of course, Mass Effect, Dragon Age, blah, blah, blah. BioWare just announced, I believe it was today or yesterday, in the new Dragon Age Inquisition that's coming out. They are having, for BioWare, their first openly gay character. And that is Dorian, who is a mage.
Oh, yeah, he works for Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't help it.
he is, it sounds terrible, but he is gay. He's not bisexual. So if you are interested in romancing Dorian, which BioWare is all about romancing your party members, you will, of course, have to play a male Inquisitor, and so that's kind of neat. Now, BioWare and their other games have had bisexual characters that are romance options. For instance, Dragon Age 2, it was Elizabeth, who's kind of the pirate queen. She was bisexual, romanceable by male or female heroes. Trying to think.
Will Wheaton was ripping on this last week. Will Wheaton ripped on this last week in his show.
On this?
Well, no, girl character, girl on girl and guy on guy characters, but specifically girl on girl characters. It was hilarious.
Oh, I missed that. Yeah. I didn't see it.
Yeah, he was ripping on one of the companies. I think it was EA, because of one of their announcements, and he was like, "Okay, y'all are gonna have to get used to it. Girls play video games," because over the characters, the female characters, and it was hilarious. Oh my god, That's so funny.
I don't know honestly if BioWare has always planned this or just recently, speaking of Final Fantasy, and I think I talked about this in the show, with the new patch that's coming out in July 2.4. Now in game you can marry your toons, which a lot of MMOs have done that.
Oh yeah, we did that in Star Wars.
Yeah, Star Wars did it.
EQ did it, for God's sake, back in the day. Yeah.
Oh yeah, there you go. They sure did. But for Final Fantasy, the new patch next month, same-sex characters will be able to marry for the first time. So I'm sure BioWare's probably planned this for a long time, but it's 2014, boys and girls, time to get with the times. It's not just gay rights, it's human rights.
That's right. So as long as I don't have to pay for your health care, I don't care.
That's right.
And they're thinking about taxing the games too, man.
Yeah.
I love it. I love picking on people.
So we'll have a link in the show notes where you can actually look at all the characters for Dragon Age Inquisition, which it looks like there's like 8 or 10 party members. That's a lot.
That's a buttload, dude.
It is a buttload. And, they're all going to be, of course, interactable. They'll all have their own storylines. You'll be able to romance.
That's worse than Assassin's Creed, man.
And we'll have a link in the show notes. Be sure to check that one out. Now, a little next bit of news for Jay and I, and I guess anyone else. Starting tomorrow, it should be today, not tomorrow.
Yeah, it's today.
It's today. Wow. Dropped the ball on that one. SWTOR, double XP. They initially touted it as a weekend for 4th of July, but it's actually kind of a week. So starting today, July 1st through July 7th, double XP. And they said for max level characters, which is 50. Is that still max level in SWTOR?
I thought 60 was, but I could be wrong.
Maybe it is. Shoot, dude, I don't even know.
I'm there.
Yeah, I know, right? I've ever been there. Never. Max level characters, you will be able to gain double renown. PvP rep and stuff like that. That's what you'll gain. So I don't know how that's going to work for us free to play. Do what?
Did they say anything about space flight? Not trying to be a jerk, but I didn't
look. Galactic Starfighter.
Yeah, the Starfighter. I mean, are you going to get like double XP for the starfighting?
I'm sure. I'm sure you will. XP's XP, as far as I'm concerned. They actually didn't say. It just says on there double XP. So I'm assuming that's everything. And they also said that to help with that, XP boost will be reduced priced in the cartel market. So, especially with us free to players with the reduced XP anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Thanks, EA.
We so po.
So with that being said, I'll probably may hit up a little more SWTOR this weekend.
Ooh.
But, Jay sent me a picture, texted me a picture yesterday, I think it was. And it's a package with a shipping label on it. And, last week we talked about the Star Wars Galaxies emulator, and Jay found some discs from a buddy of his who Do what?
I conked him on the head and stole it, man.
Sapped him.
Yeah, so, you'll see me on an episode of Castle fairly here soon.
That's right. So I have some original Star Wars Galaxy discs on their way, so I can jump into the emulator. We were talking about this before the show. So I'll be hard-pressed. Will I be playing Wolfenstein or SWG or SWTOR or Final Fantasy? You know, hashtag world problems.
No, dude. I just bought Black Flag and I can't play it.
No. Why not? Oh, school. No time.
Yeah, school. Plus, I mean, you know, I don't want to waste a double XP weekend, yo.
Right. I know. Yeah, especially if I'm going to do that agent. I might kind of kick her in here and try to level up. Because you're 30, right? 30-something?
I'm 26. Yeah, I'm 26.
Yeah, I'm only 16. I've got to catch up.
I'll leave him alone and play somebody else.
Jay, why don't you tell us about your Minecraft news? Because I think the other piece will probably be on for a little bit.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure. So there I was with nothing to do. Read that as in the bathroom, and you got your phone with you, right? So there you are, flipping through your news articles, and sure enough, I come across something that would interest my son. So I had to be a good parent and read about it. So those of you who are playing Minecraft, apparently there is a three-way, an ugly kind, going on between Mojang, and I guess some of the major servers that host Minecraft. I'm looking at Mineplex and a few of the other ones out there. You know, I could go through a whole list of them, but apparently Mojang posted a statement on its website responding to some Twitter disagreements about the extent to which the server companies could monetize their custom Minecraft content. So, like, you know, Minecraft's all about modding, right? So if a company hosts a game and mods the crap out of it, up until now, the EULA for Mojang said you're not supposed to charge people for it. I mean, you can't charge people for anything in-game that would give them a boost over anyone playing for free. Right?
Okay.
And that's like part of the EULA. That being said, it's been kind of swept under the rug. No one's been paying attention to it, that you could buy kits. So as long as they don't give away like the diamond sword or things that are intellectual property of Bylos and Mojang, then whatever they create in the game that's typical, you know, kits that you would create for your character, can buy. And a bunch of them are set up fairly, I might add. When I say fairly, I mean fair for everybody involved. There's, in fact, Bylos himself mentions one where there's like a thing where they play like a Super Smash Brothers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a Castle Siege and a few others. Basically, what you purchase is a kit that makes you a certain type of character. And it doesn't make you better or worse than any of the other characters. It just customizes you, for lack of a better terminology. So, like, if it's a Team Fortress style game, you might be a tank, which would move slower and cause less damage, but you take more damage. Or you could be like, you know, a glass cannon and do a lot of damage, but can't take any. But the point being is you've paid for it. Well, a lot of these servers have whole, you know, offices servicing them. You know, we're not talking about something. We're talking about what you were talking about, a server farm, where they get, you know, they have income coming in because of this business that they built up. Well, Mojang's EULA said they're going to stomp down on that, and they're going to quit allowing these people to have free reign, because, I mean, you still have to, you know, sign in and have that Mojang okay you to play the game. You can't just, you know, you don't have a copy of the game that's just all you, you know what I mean?
Right.
You still have to sign in to play the game and authenticate off the Mojang servers, or at least as far as I know. So what you've got here is you've got three separate individuals. You got kind of Bylos stuck in the middle, who says, you know, we've got servers that have been doing this for a long time and they're not breaking any laws, and it's his IP.
Hmm.
But Mojang owns the IP, you know, or the company, and they're saying, look, we're going to stick by the EULA that we created from day one. And then there's the server corporations who have built up, you know, all of this. I mean, they've created Minecraft. They're the ones who've really pushed. I mean, Minecraft was doing okay by itself, but whenever you started these mod communities, that's when it really took off. And I know anyone who's been listening to this show knows every single time that we talk about VG charts, Minecraft's in the top five, if not the number one game in the world.
Right.
And that's saying something. We're not talking about small bits of money here. We're talking about 6-7 digits, you know, a month.
Mm-hmm.
So, when you're talking about that kind of money, you're talking about people's livelihoods. And so I'm impressed to see that this just crept up on the 12th, I believe, is when all this went down. And the 24th, June 24th was when this all went down. So kind of coming to a big ugly zit head, and I want to see where it goes. I'm going to post in the show notes the link. Yeah, because it's going to pop, yo. And I just want to see who's out on top, because technically Mojang owns it. Bylos has the IP, but the EULA is, and Mojang's main goal with the EULA rules is to prevent unfair extortion in situations like player versus player PvP server charging a few hundred bucks for a diamond armor kit. Now, that's understandable, because kids are going online and spending their parents' money, and then they're, you know, if Mojang yanks that away, these parents are going to be pissed off, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, you know, and when does a company have the right to take away something that you've purchased? You know, well, the company does, but that's because you purchased it from a local server, and your purchase was with the local server, not with Mojang. Mojang says, you know, boom, no more. So, anyway, like I said, server farms, Bylos, Mojang, it reads like a bad, you know, freaking tear-jerking ugly novel or something like that. Right. I just want to see how the train wreck ends, because I don't play it. I know there's a couple of people who are part of the Holosuite community that really wanted it to take off and, you know, sunk a little bit of money into it, but we just couldn't find the Pegasus wings to get it going. So I guess we could have bought them, but there you go. That being said, I want to see how this pans out. And, you know, anybody who wants to chime in, feel free to use our Twitter hashtag and, you know, say something about it. We want to hear from you guys. And this would be some dragging us into this would be something fun for us to get off our duffs and start really talking about. So what do you think, by the way?
You know, I see where they're coming from. Ultimately, it's a business decision, and it kind of has to be. Because, like you say, that's people's livelihoods. Now, you know, I think a lot of people are looking at this, oh, they're just greedy, da-da-da. Well, you know, those same people who are complaining about, oh, they're just being greedy, are the same people who expect updates, who expect bug fixes, who expect patches. Well, you know what? That just doesn't happen. Someone has to program that stuff. And just like Jay said, you know, if you're paying the server host that you're playing on, and the game developer who provides support for that doesn't get a penny of it, I see where they're coming from. You know,
yep.
And especially if it's violating the EULA, well, it goes back to that whole South Park episode about the human Sentai pad, how everyone just scrolls to the bottom and clicks I agree. Well, you know, ultimately it is your problem if you agreed to it, and if they decide to do it, hey, you agreed to it. You're playing their game. You
Thanks, have to fight.
Yeah.
Shut up, Stan. You do.
Divide by their rules. But yeah, that's just a weird, obscure reference. But yeah, so we'll keep an eye on the battle of the blocks, as we'll call it.
Yeah, everybody's gonna drink the Kool-Aid eventually. Don't worry.
Right. Alrighty, let's talk about Eternal Crusade. You know, Jay and I are big fans of 40K. We don't need to rehash that, because we'll have another 20-minute conversation about Marines and orcs. But Eternal Crusade has released the information for their founder packs. And it's kind of what I expected.
Ouch.
And some of it was kind of not what I expected. So, you know, they start off at $50. You're essentially, you know, and that's the thing. It's not even a pre-order. It's $50 for the stuff. And like I said, I don't believe. Does it give you the game?
I was fixing to say the founder packs start at 40, actually.
Oh, do they really?
Yeah,
oh,
the founder packs, the warrior pack starts at 40, but then it jumps immediately to 80 for sergeant. So.
Yeah. Let's see here. So the warrior pack,
you get the 40,000 RTP for Rogue Trader.
You
pre-launch,
get pre-launch
game access.
Access.
Yes.
First
not the
come,
game.
First serve is what it says. So you know, nowhere in this does it say you get the game.
Nope.
So you are paying for Now, there is kind of some neat stuff, sure, granted. But when the game drops, which I'm sure is going to be a $60 game, you're going to have to spend 60 more bucks to get it.
Yep.
So, yeah, like Jay said, 40 bucks for the Warrior Pack, which goes all the way up to 450 for, I believe it's the Xenos Pack. Xenos Pack.
Did you notice the reductive language here? Early game module access, 60 days after initial access in the third wave. So you don't even get the first wave at 40 bucks.
Right. Right, right, right. With the Xenos Pack, you do get a game key. You do get a game key and four character slots. We're just kind of scrolling over this.
Yeah.
There are also, if you're familiar with the lore of 40K, they're offering Heresy Edition, time period weapons. Mm-hmm. The cheapest of which looks like those are 35 bucks. I think they're all 35 bucks. So like the Phobos pattern bolter, you get the, this is the Assyrian Fury, which looks like an Eldar sniper rifle, but some stuff like that. Let's see here. You can
there's you can a buy lot of a stuff warrior. Here.
I know there is a lot of stuff, but man,
where did you see game key?
If you click on the Xenos Pack, the Learn More.
Ah.
Yep, a game key, and you know, let me see here.
Because I didn't see it in any of the other packs.
You know what? Actually, you do. Warrior Pack gets a game key. So I think they all come with the game.
Oh, yeah. A game key and four character slots. I missed four that. Yeah. So slots. 40 bucks key. Gets you the game.
Gets you the game. Gets you the game.
Can't complain about that, man, because well, you know it's going to be $40 to begin with.
And you know what? You know what they're kind of hiding? You kind of have to read to understand this. Or, I'm sorry, to see it. It's a sub game. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, it's a sub. It's going to have a monthly subscription.
I'll be damn, you're right. Oh, yeah, you're right. I see that.
Yep.
Ah.
Xenos and Marines and Orcs and blah, blah, blah. And you'll be able to do it. But you're going to have to pay monthly to do it.
I'll be diggity dang.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. They kind of snuck that in. Because, you know, Jay and I talked about this when they first announced it. Like, oh, maybe microtransactions, upgrade your armor and insignias and whip. Nope. Monthly sub.
And see, with $450 up front, there should be no sub. At that point, you're a lifetime member.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You are exactly right. That should be a lifetime membership. Hell, the Heresy
$250,
pack,
yeah.
$250, that... You know, you look at some of these MMOs that came out when they were dropping the lifetime sub, $200.
Yeah, $200 was lifetime. Yeah, Star Wars. I mean, Star Wars was like that. Stowe was like that. Yeah, and Secret World.
Yeah, Secret World, Lotro. They all had $200 lifetime subscriptions or memberships.
Not the British boy. They're really proud of their games.
Well, not Games Workshop. Now with the Xenos pack, the $450 one, you do get a game key and four character slots. I thought, I see what it is. I was going to say, I thought there was one of them that gave you eight character slots, but apparently not. With the Xenos, you do get eight boss packs.
Wow.
Which are just like points and crap like that. Man, you know, I don't know, dude. We were talking about this, and I was really considering dropping some money.
Yeah, me too.
You don't get first for only $10 monthly subscription point bundle. Every month, you will receive an increasing amount of Rogue Trader points.
Yep, and you don't get first wave access unless you pay $250.
Yeah. Yep.
Ah,
I know. But looking over the Heresy Edition weapons, it looks like the Space Marine Phobos pattern bolter is the highest selling one because they are limited. So, for instance, with that one, there's 2,177 left. And it looks like the Orc, the looted Umi Bolter.
Umis.
Which looks kind of like a bolter, but it's got the iconic red orc with the white checkerboard stuff on it, and it's got a big like cloth strip holding it together. There's 2,400 of those left, so I think it's pretty safe to say what most people are going to be playing. It looks like Traitor Marines, Chaos Marines, and Standard Space Marines. I think those will be our big two factions. But
didn't we all but say that?
Yeah, well, you know.
I don't know. Legionnaire. Oh.
Yeah, did you see that?
Did you? Yeah, 25.
I meant to text you when I saw that. That's an upgradable option, Legion of the Damned. It sure is.
You should not have let me see that.
And I was reading on it. I think what it is, I don't think you play as a damned legionnaire. I think you get him as a on cooldown usable ability. I think he comes into play like every so often. I think. I'm trying to find it. Where is he? What is he under?
He's in the Rogue Trader store.
In the Rogue Trader section. Yeah.
So yeah, it says known to materialize during the Imperium's most dire times of need. That's what they do.
Yep. Yeah, that is what they do.
Yep. We got to quit talking about this or it's going to be another 20-minute discussion.
I can already see it. Jay's going to run around as a space wolf with a Legion of the Damned person.
Yep.
A Marine popping into being every once in a while. For the Allfather.
That's right. Finrear.
That's right. Exactly. But we just wanted to talk about that. You know, it's $40 is the cheapest. $450 is the most expensive. Kind of classic Games Workshop. Making you pay.
Oh, my God.
All right. That'll wrap us up on news. Let's move on to geeky stuff, where, as usual, I have Jack and Jay's leading the way.
Oh, come on now. This is stuff that we both like here. Shadowrun Tabletop Gaming. Who doesn't like that, right?
Indeed.
Shadowrun Tabletop, now pre-order available for $24.99. The Street Grimoire. That is a watermarked PDF from Catalyst Game Labs. It will, and you said, I think, August 26th. Is that correct?
That's what Amazon has as the date, but we'll see.
Well, Amazon can pretty much snap their fingers and make it. If they brought it out on August 25th, Amazon would send small ninja robot warriors to shut down Catalyst Games for a day. All right, we both know that's true. So $49.99 is the normal price. $24.99 will be the watermarked PDF if you pre-order it. We both know it's going to be worth it. It's basically the magic grimoire, you know, and what could do better than having spells, rituals, alchemical preparations, edit powers, and meta magics available right in front of you for your 5th edition Shadowrun fun. And God bless you, Chummer. I miss this game so much. I really do. I want to play this. And you guys in where you live, Gray, play all the games that I want to play. Nobody around here does anymore. So I'm just going to have to move to Houston is what it
there
is. Got 3 semesters. I'm going to move out there.
That's right.
But that being said, anybody who's into it, go to Drive-Thru RPG. Set your pre-order, $24.99. I'm guessing, like I said, they don't list here when it's going to drop. They just, you know, say this is what's going to be in it. So hopefully we're talking about that August date, maybe sooner. That'd be even better, right?
Yeah.
And then I can call your wife and tell her, yeah, I know he spent the money.
All right.
Just that way we'll both be in trouble because I know mine's right. About to see. What is $29.99 for Steam yesterday, Jason?
All right.
That must have been something I did a long time ago. It just came through, honey. All right. Moving on. Are you going to go ahead and get that, by the way? Are you thinking about pre-ordering that?
I don't know. I got the 5th edition core book, but, you know, I was telling Jay before the show, I haven't bought anything else Shadowrun since. I'm really dropping the ball on that.
Is it because it's not as appealing as the other stuff was, or is it just because you're not finding the time yet?
Not finding the time.
Oh, that's totally understandable.
Shadowrun.
Yeah, who doesn't?
Shadowrun.
Come on, I mean, you know, that's one of those games where just reading the lore is worth buying the books, whether you play it or not.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I have a ton of 4th edition Shadowrun books, rules books, and some adventures. Never played, but I've read every single one of them just because I love the lore.
That's, I do that with Dark Heresy. Yeah, 40K. Yeah. I hate giving Black Larian Games Workshop all my money, but I have a lot of the Dark Heresy stuff, and I've yet to play a single game of that, but it is so awesome. Seeing that artwork and immersing myself, it's beautiful artwork. I mean, I buy the books, even though they're way overpriced,
yeah,
because they're so well done. So,
on, just real quick on that subject, there's a book out right now called Visions of Heresy,
mm-hmm.
and it's nothing but art dealing with the Horus Heresy.
Oh.
It's just a huge, thick art book of Horus Heresy era artwork. Gorgeous book. I haven't actually looked at too much of it. I've just seen a couple pictures because every copy at Barnes & Noble is shrink-wrapped, so you can't actually
bastards.
But it's a big old hardback. It's like 50 or 60 bucks, but see, what I have Playboy's, seen it is wonderful.
Playboys are sitting out there with nothing holding them together, but they shrink-wrap right. The stuff we really want to see, right?
And they shrink-wrap the gaming material.
No!
That's funny.
All right, moving on. Card games and dice games that are mixed together are awesome. Card games are cool. Dice games are better. Card games and dice games, that's awesome. Let's throw in some gothic gaslight horror, and you really kind of got a winning thing there. Cards of Cthulhu is a new game. I say newer. I just found out about it. I didn't see where it had been out much longer than when I found out about it, so I'm going to say new. Anybody wants to correct me, feel free. Mm-hmm. The review was pretty awesome that I read, and it's a single-player game for either one or four people. It generally takes about 60 minutes or so. Oh, you know, standard age requirements 10 plus, blah, blah, blah. Setup time's minimal, but from what I'm hearing, basically, you're a character trying to stop the cults from awakening an elder god, and the cards more or less provide the story outline and the characters that you're going to run up against. And the dice are the randomization factor for you fighting the bad guys, including the horrors that they summon. Hmm. You have a physical body and a sanity, which is always cool because I hate it when people forget the sanity part of Cthulhu.
Right.
Because, I mean, like that's a underpinning of all Cthulhu, is that almost single time anyone who's been exposed to Cthulhu, like the next generation always finds the previous generation in an insane asylum.
Yeah.
Or holed up in their house, you know. Or,
oh, yeah.
You never find him, like, happily smelling daisies and drinking Starbucks, right? You know? What happened? Oh, it was so wonderful. We found the Mouths of Madness.
That's right.
Nope, that's not what happened. I found him gibbering in the corner, eating his fingers off. Oh,
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly right.
So not happy. So anyway, basically what happens is you can be physically or, I guess, spiritually, sanity-wise, attacked by these creatures. The dice rolls make a difference. Later on in the game, some of the characters require you to turn in dice because, like, I think you start around with only three dice, and it takes, like, four dice to take out some of the major creatures. Mm. And there's apparently a swap function where you buy spirit dice, which I'm guessing are, like, exploding dice. Right. And it's a pretty cool game. They said be prepared to lose a lot.
Yeah.
This is a tough game, and you should expect to lose a lot.
A lot.
But the dice and the card draws can be just really tough. Some followers help you, but if you don't purchase one early, you could be in deep trouble. Mm. The unspeakable horrors are really tough and require four dice combos to beat, and since you only start the turn with three dice, you need to purchase a spirit dice to defeat them. So apparently there's a sleeping mode where the bad things are asleep, and then, like, the cultists wake them up and then they come and attack you. So really kind of cool. I think it looks like the kind of game that's, you know, pretty awesome. It doesn't look stupid expensive. And since there's no additions to the card game yet that I can see, then it looks as if it's still new. And these are the kind of games, you know, that get card editions added on fairly quickly. And so, like, the initial game's, like, you know, 19 bucks or 20 bucks. And then, the add-ons are, like, half that price or sometimes three quarters.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, you know, on a separate note, so let me just go ahead and finish that. For everybody who likes this game, go out and buy it.
Right.
Or at least check it out. But on a separate note, and I have to say this because I'm a MechWarrior fan, do you remember MechWarrior the card game? It was called BattleTech, card game, but
I want to say I've seen it, but I never played it.
I used to have binders of that, and, you know, I went looking for it the other day because I was like, man, I want to play this game, because you had all the different types of mechs, and then you had, No, basically it was sort of like Star Wars where you had different areas that you had to fight in. Mm-hmm. Then you had different missions that you had to have, and you could have, you know, Aerotech covering you, or infantry, or elementals if you were clan. Mm-hmm. And there was clan, and there was inner sphere, and then you had all the different mech models.
Yeah.
And then you had, you know, your mech pilots had abilities that they could do while they were in the mechs that would cause them to do even more damage.
Gotcha.
So it was a pretty cool game, and I can't believe I got rid of it or lost it or whatever the hell happened to it, because I'm like sitting here the other day, I was thinking, you know, I'd really like to pull that game out and play sometime. And I cannot find it, and it is driving me nuts. And I went looking, I was like, well, you know, there's got to be like binders and binder stuff available on eBay cheap, you know, because nobody's playing anymore. It's not being produced.
Yeah.
They're proud of this game still.
Yeah, I'm actually on Amazon right now. They have a BattleTech trading card game booster box for $200.
Yeah, exactly. Boosters, not even full decks.
Right.
Oh my god.
There's apparently an expansion called Counter-Strike.
Yeah, that was the second expansion.
Okay. Now that sealed booster box is $150. There's a unlimited edition starter deck. Now unlimited, I'm assuming, was white border. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's correct.
So there is an unlimited edition starter deck for $15 on Amazon. I don't know. So were the decks themed like Sphere or
yeah, was it just like... Do you remember the card game that crept up around 7C?
Oh yeah, I played
it came out at 7C. Okay, it came out at exactly the same time, pretty much the same mechanics and the same referencing.
Okay.
Just that, you know, in 7C you had a single ship, and in BattleTech you had a base, and then you had a lance of mechs.
So, but there wasn't like a Merrick deck or a Steiner deck.
You created it more or less. I don't remember them being pre-populated that way. I could have it in my head wrong, but I remember them being basically what they wanted you to do was buy four or five starter decks and a whole bunch of boosters and create a Merrick deck.
Gotcha.
So, but that being said, I did have the Black Widow deck, Wolf's Dragoons. And I'm fairly certain I also had a House Karita deck, because I used to be a House Karita fan.
Yeah.
So, but that being said, I for some reason that crept into my head when we were talking about Cthulhu, and I was like, you know, I missed that game.
That looks kind of cool. I mean, there's only like four entries on Amazon, and there are boxes of boosters, a starter deck, and actually a first edition limited booster pack. The pack is $20, and there's 10 in stock.
Yeah. Board Game Geek, I think, still has some.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
I'm pretty sure they still do floating around. Let me see.
You know, I need to look up for the... what was it called? It was the Warhammer 40K card game that just came out. Carnage or something like that?
Oh, yeah.
Conquest. I need to see what's going on with that.
But yeah,
yeah, I definitely recognize these packs. I've seen them. I remember seeing them in the game.
You know, I still have my 7C decks.
I do too.
I've got those in my binders. I found those binders. I was like, oh, look. And I found my Stow binder. Well, it's not Stow, but Star Trek.
Yep.
And I found some old Pokemon.
Star Trek cards.
And I was like,
no, didn't do Pokemon.
Well, I managed a game shop for a long time. So.
Yeah.
But I was just like, look at all this crap. Now, where's my Mech Warrior? And I found my Space Marine.
Mm-hmm.
I found the Space Marine stuff. And what was the last thing I found? Oh yeah, the weird one. Mutants
and Masterminds.
No. it was a game that was roughly based off of like it was in the future, and corporations controlled the universe rather than, and there was magic at the same time, and basically you were like demon style bad guys. And you were fighting, and I can't remember the name of it. It was very unique. But anyway, I found those too. I was like, man, look at all this stuff. And I even found some old Legend of the Five Rings, the Japanese game.
Yep.
Found those too. L5R. Found those too. I found all these games. No Mech Warrior. I was so upset.
No Mech Warrior.
Cried like a little girl.
yeah, I had some of the Star Trek cards as well. I actually found at an old EB Games an unopened box of original series Star Trek starter decks, and I have that.
Wow.
Yeah, that was good stuff. And 7C, I always played Explorers. That was my faction of choice.
I think I had Explorers. The Blackbeard guy.
Yeah, I had a lot of them, but and I can't remember his name.
Yeah, it was him. I had a deck based around him, and then I had a deck based around, what was the really fast ship? I can't remember the name of it.
Reese.
Yeah, thank you.
That was the captain, was Reese.
Yeah, Reese.
He was all about fast and swashbuckling. Yeah.
That was it. It was the Reese guy. I had him and the Blackbeard guy.
The Blackbeard guy, was it something with the sails, Crimson Sails or something?
Was it Crimson Sails? He had a bunch of cursed items on his ship that was like really, really devastating.
Yeah. Now, I did play the Undead when they came out, and I can't remember what they were called either.
Oh, the ones that were supposed to be the Davy Jones guys?
Yeah, essentially them. I did play them, because I'm, you know, Ravenloft and Undead, I'm all about that.
Oh, yeah. That was one of the two games my wife liked playing, so. Yep, let's go.
We're going to tangent off. Yeah, guys, that'll about wrap us up for today. Thanks for listening. Black Lace will have our information on the way out. Be sure to look me up on the PlayStation Network, primarily on Steam and Raptor under Teletech 77062.
And you can find me as Jason, JaySynn, on Steam, PlayStation, and Raptor. So feel free to shoot me.
Cool. All right, guys. Have a good one.
Y'all take care.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at the Pulse Gamecast. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thepulsegamecast@gmail.com.